Session number 9723.
Mr. Caravan, reel 4.
Inglis attacked the convoy, and one of those who was unfortunately killed was this New Zealander who lived throughout the occupation in the mountains and was on his way home, and he was the one who was killed.
What happened to you next?
Well, as soon as I reached Patras, I heard that Athens, the Germans had moved out of Athens, and it was Athens was liberated and they'd gone wild, and the 9th Commando were the liberators, although they'd only been in the country for a couple of days. I remained in Patras with Tony Andrews for some time until A decided that we should go to Athens about 3 or 4 days later, and I think we had a jeep and a driver to take us to Athens. Now, when we got up to, we had to cross the Corinth Canal, and there was a ship, fairly large passenger ship, had been sunk crosswise in the canal, and we could, one way or another, have crossed by getting onto this ship and walking across, but we had fears that it was mined or booby-trapped, and we didn't want to chance it. So we got, there was a barge with a rope, and a Greek who offered to take us in the jeep over on this barge, and he took us across the canal. And we went into Athens, drove into Athens, and we went to a house in, I think it was Kyphysia, which was taken over by the British, by SOE, for their operators who were then converging on Athens. It was an empty house, but they'd furnished it with a few beds and bits and pieces. And one day, about a few days after I'd been there, I was lying on my bed, which was on the first floor, at the side of the doorway leading, and the stairs were leading into the street, when a burst of machine gun fire came up the stairs into the wall opposite to me. It was something like a Sten gun or a machine pistol. And I jumped out of my skin, of course, I'm covered in plaster, dust. And I was just in time to see an Elas fellow running away. Why he'd done this, I don't know, but that was the only time that I'd ever been approached by Elas in a violent fashion.
How did you know he was Elas?
Well, he had a red star. They all wore a red star on their cap, and they were always festooned with bandoliers. Whether the bandoliers were any good to them or not, I don't know. They were festooned with bandoliers, and they had knives and pistols hanging around them. You could tell an Elas manner, by the way. Particularly the red star. They all wore a red star.
Did the EDs have any distinguishing mark?
I can't actually say that I ever saw an EDs man. Can't ever say that I ever met one. But the Elas certainly did. They all had the red star. Even the girls. The girls wore red stars. But anyway, some time after this, that's the only act of violence I'd seen by Elas up to that time, as directed against the British. And I was out in Athens. I think this was the 3rd of December. And I heard firing in the street. I know there'd been a parade that day, and it was an Elas parade. I think they were demonstrating against the government's decision that Elas should hand in their arms, and they were demonstrating against this. And they were marching through from Armonia Plateau to Constitution in that general direction. And I heard firing, machine pistols firing. There were single shots, and then there were machine pistols firing. And I went to have a look, and as I got near the demonstration, there was panic. The crowds were screaming and running, I was worried because I couldn't see where the firing was coming from, but I could see bullets hitting the floor and the pavement. And I shouted in the shop doorway, and I could see them hitting the ground in front of me. And that's one of the times when I was really worried, because I couldn't see where it was coming from. But anyway, the firing died away, and I went into the main road where it was, and apparently I learned from some of the other soldiers that were there that the police had opened fire on the demonstrators. The Greek police had caused an explosion, and the police had considered this was an attack on them, and they'd opened fire.
Was anybody hit?
There were about 3 people killed, I think, on that particular day. Well, I went back to the house, and the following day, when I wasn't feeling too good, and I thought I had malaria, touch of malaria. I'd had it before. It was so. There was a Greek barracks, which I think was taken over as a hospital by the British. I know there was a medical officer there, and I went to. So I went there, and they said. A bit shirty at first that I wanted to see an MO, and then they said, well, okay, you'll have to see him in the morning, but you can stay the night here. And they put me up for the night. Now, the next morning, there was a tremendous amount of firing. And once again, when I was in this hospital, I could see the bullets coming across the courtyard and into the open door and striking the wall in the hospital. And there were mortar bombs. There was a big water tower outside the hospital entrance, and I saw a mortar bomb hit the water tower and blow it to pieces, and the water cascaded down. And I thought to myself, my best plan is to get out of here. And when the firing eased off, I had a feeling that the bullets that I could see were spent bullets from a distance, because the way they were ricocheting along the ground. But I thought my best plan was to get away from there. And there was a lorry, an RAMC lorry, and I spoke to the driver, and I said, are you going into Athens? He said, yeah. I said, well, can you take me to Kyphysia? And he said, okay. So I went with him to Kyphysia. I think that's the name of the district where this house was. And when we got to the main road, the tram lines were down, houses had the windows blown out, and he said you can't get out here, because it looked like a battlefield. I said, no, you're dead right, I can't get out here. I don't know what happened to them in the house, but I'm not going, because it looked devastated. So he drove me into Athens, and we went to in the main street in Athens. I met some of my old colleagues from SOE, and they said everyone had moved out of the house, and they'd been chased out by the ELAS, and that I'd been in the hospital, and I was lucky that I wasn't there when they were chased out, and that they were now concentrated in the main street in Athens, in the little office over the shops. And I found out my kit, what bit of kit I had, they'd taken that and put it there. So I was reunited, but not in the old house. Anyway, there had been a NAFI. Greek Admiralty building, and it was a huge building, and it was a fantastic NAFI for anyone who hadn't seen a NAFI for a long time, because they didn't have coinage, everything was done in cigarettes. I think they started Greek occupation money, and we got a handful of Greek occupation money, and you only got change in cigarettes, but they had nice things in this NAFI which we hadn't seen for years. But there was a dead man lying in the corner, and I said, lying in the crossroads to the NAFI, and I said, why can't we get across there? What's he doing there? And they said to me, well, if you go across there, you're welcome. So two of us ran, and we ran across the road, and there was somebody firing from up the street. That's where they'd shot this fellow, and we got to the NAFI, and there was nobody there, but the stuff was there, so we helped ourselves to cigarettes, which is the only thing we wanted, really.
Was this chap a civilian?
Yes, he was a civilian. He was lying in the roadway. And we ran back. We got back. And we were told, grab a rifle. They had these few rooms we had. They had some old rifles and some old ammunition. And there was an officer there, I think it was Major Reed. He said, grab a rifle and grab some ammunition, but make sure the ammunition is suitable for the rifle you grab, which was common sense. But I got hold of an old rifle, I think it looked like a Boer War or something or other, and some rounds of ammunition. And they brought up a lorry, and they started, an open back lorry, and they started building barricades on the lorry to make it a sort of an armoured lorry by putting sacks of sand and pieces of furniture. And they made it into a kind of armoured lorry, and they said, come on, pile aboard. We're going back to the old house where we had up at Kyphysia.
Who made the barricade?
This major and us. He was telling us what to do, you know, put that desk in there and fill it up with sand. And we made the lorry sort of ridiculous, really, because a bullet would have gone through any of it. But it felt better to have, a bit of protection. So we all, about six of us, got in this lorry. And we went back up to Kifisea, where the house was. And there was a lot of firing going on, and Greeks on rooftops were firing. So we jumped out and went into the old house again. It was empty. And one fellow was at the window, and he saw, in the house opposite, he saw a Greek, and he waved to him, and this Greek shot him through the head, and he just fell. And I went to another window, and I could see up the road there was a Sherman tank, and it had its gun in the front door of an office, and it was firing at point blank range. And it must have been 3 or 4 feet from the office door, and it was firing its gun, and the crew commander was standing up in the turret, and he must have been covered in debris and dust and dirt, because this gun fired about 6 rounds at point blank range. Why, I don't know. I don't know why. And
did you know what unit that was?
Well, one of the armoured units. I don't know which one it was. I think there was only one armoured unit there, but it was a Sherman. And then there were so many bullets flying around that it was dangerous to go near the window, dangerous to even look out, because really, we were bemused by the fact that none of the Greeks that were firing at us couldn't be identified as enemy, because they were ordinary Greek clothing, and they were firing at us. And you couldn't fire as a Greek, because you didn't know whether you're firing at a good one or a bad one. So the best thing was just to keep out the way. Anyway, after a time, the firing died down, and we got back in the lorry and went back into the centre of Athens. And by this time, we were told that there was, where we were, was the only part that was safe to move in, that Elas had taken over the whole of Athens, and that they were in fact underground in the sewers, and inspections had to be made at any sewers that were nearby, make sure that no Greeks were going to pop up. And it was really quite horrific, really. We did have a route to the airport, I believe, but it had to be a convoy or an armoured escort. You could get to the airport. There was nothing to eat. We had those hardtack biscuits. And really, we felt quite useless, because we weren't a fighting formation at all. So we could just hang around and watch. And there's quite some interesting sights, you know.
Such
as? We had a guard. We had to do a guard at night. The rooms we were in over the shops, we had to guard the front entrance. And it was ridiculous, really, because I'd lost my pistol. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a firearm at all. And I was on guard and in the middle of the night. And a few doors away up the road was a jeweller's shop with one of these cages out the window. And a jeep drove up and drove on the pavement with some British soldiers in. And out they leap with crowbars, and they lever the cage off the window and smash the glass. And I thought, well, should I go along and either help myself, or should I stay out of the way? And the discretion was that I should stay out of the way, and I stayed out of the way and watched them looting the shop window. What they got, I don't know, but it was a jeweller's shop. And then basically we were told that we could be evacuated, that we were sort of useless there. You know, we went to anything, we could be evacuated.
Did you see anybody come out of the sewers?
No, I didn't. No, I think this was rumour. You know, I think it was rumour. The Greeks were very good at spreading rumours of this nature, you know. No, there was an incident when I did get a pistol. I got hold of a 45, an American 45, or somebody gave it to me. And I didn't have a holster, so I had this stuff in my pocket, everyone could see. And I looked outside the door one day into the main road, and there were a couple of Greeks, and they had hold of a fellow, and they were rubbing his nose on the floor. And one of them said, as soon as he saw me, he said, "Give us your gun, give us your gun." In English, too. I said, "Not likely, because he wouldn't do it, shoot this fellow." Why they wanted to shoot him, I don't know, but if I had given them my gun, they would have shot him.
Were the men identifiable?
No. And another day I was outside and saw a woman lying in the road. She'd been shot through the thigh. Through both thighs, actually.
Did it seem to be deliberate or an accident?
I would think it'd be an accident. I would think, you know, the Greeks were firing anywhere and anything, and they certainly weren't marksmen, that's for sure. And this problem would have been shot high up there into a house, and before I knew where I was, about 20 Greeks had gathered round, jabbering away, and they helped. I think a doctor came, helped. But it was pretty hairy at the time, although. Again, I can't say that I was ever really, I ever really thought that I would come to any harm. Perhaps it's my eternal optimism. But anyway, they said that I would be going back to Cairo the following day if I could get to the airport. Now, it was getting very cold, bitterly cold, and I didn't have a coat, I didn't have anything. But I did have a Leica camera, and I saw a chap with a very handsome raincoat. So I did a deal with him. I swapped him my Leica camera for his raincoat, a nice heavy raincoat, and I put this raincoat on. And I went to the airport, and I was taken to the airport in a convoy for on a Dakota. And we landed at El Adam at Tobruk, and I was shown into this, I think it was a Nissen Hut type place, and it was full of officers, and the chap next to me was a lieutenant colonel, and I thought, well, I'm a bit embarrassed here, but I think it was because of the raincoat I had. But anyway, I staked a bed in this officer's mess or whatever it was, and I think we were given a meal, and the following day we were taken up to Cairo and landed at Cairo. But I wonder what this lieutenant colonel thought of me sharing his bed space with him. Because it wasn't done in those days.
Did you go back to Greece?
No, that was it. That was it.
During that street fighting in Athens, did you have personally a clear idea of what it was all about?
I had no idea whatsoever, except that the government had demanded that ELAS surrendered their weapons, and ELAS had refused.
What did you understand the role of British forces to be at that time?
I understood the role of British forces would be to dispossess ELAS of their arms. I didn't tell you at one stage, well, on a couple of days, I used to go on the roof of this office, and in fact I've got a photograph here now I'll show you, where I was on the roof of this building, and I watched the typhoons, I think they were typhoons, rocketing the ELAS at the Acropolis. And it was really amazing to watch them coming over, shooting their rockets and the great explosions.
How many typhoons?
Three, yeah, going round in circles, and they were firing rockets. And it was right over the, I forget the name of the district now in Athens, but I know it was the Red Light District.
About how many rockets would they have fired?
Well, I think they used to fire about two each, and then go back for more. Yeah.
Did they seem to be hitting the Acropolis itself?
It looked that way. Yes.
Could you see whether they were being fired at from the ground?
No, I couldn't see that. But I mean, it would have been pretty pointless because there would be no weapon that would really harm them. The Greeks don't, I don't think they would have anything in the anti-aircraft line. They had a vast variety of weapons, but they were largely old Italian stuff. A lot of British, well, not a lot of British, but I think they were largely Italian and German that they had.
But you said that the ELAS men and women had bandoliers.
Oh, yes, they all had bandoliers. I mean, everyone you saw had at least two bandoliers of ammunition and at least a couple of grenades. And in fact, they used to hang grenades from their belts by the ring, which you pull to pull the pin out. And that used to horrify me, and it horrified everyone who saw them, but you couldn't tell them.
How many days were you in Athens, do you know?
From the third, oh, I think about 21. About 3 weeks, I would think.
And which month was this?
December. December. I came out, I think it was Christmas Eve when I came out. Either Christmas Eve or the day before.
What did the attitude of the British forces whom you spoke to in Athens seem to be towards what was going on?
Well, I think everyone was of the opinion that ELAS were a crowd of gangsters who had to be put down. I don't think the politics of it really occurred to anyone. We all knew that they wanted a plebiscite to bring the king back, but I think most people realised that the ELAS at that stage were showing their true colours in that they wanted to take over the country and that we were a small force that were going to stop them doing it. And mind you, I did know of one or two of SOE operators who were sympathetic to ELAS. And obviously, people who were politically minded, that is the older ones, who gave a thought to this kind of thing, did see that they had a case, that ELAS did have a case for ruling the country.
Is that what they said to you?
Well, that's what I've heard discussed. I never took part in these discussions because I wasn't really interested at the time, but I do know that our presence in Greece really was never wanted by the Greeks in the first place, and that we were instrumental in the fact that their country was occupied by the Germans. I honestly believe that this story that we went into Greece with our army to help these poor people who were being defeated by the Germans and Italians, and that we gave them a last-ditch assistance, I think it's a load of rubbish. In fact, I think that we wanted a presence in Greece. We needed to be in Greece because of the Ploesti oil fields, and that we had aircraft in Greece at Athens Airport long before the German invasion. And I think that the Germans invaded Greece not to help Mussolini, as has been put out, but to keep the British out, not the other way about. And I think that if the British had not gone to Greece, the Germans wouldn't have gone.
But did any Greeks at the time put forward these arguments to you?
No, no. It's only what I've worked out for myself. You see, I at the time I did know that Metaxas was pro-German, and that he was part of the Greek government, and that in the First World War he had been interned by the Greeks for his pro-German attitude, and that he had been trained as a soldier in Germany. And if Metaxas hadn't have died when he did in January 1941, that the British would not have gone into Greece. They wouldn't have been allowed into Greece. Because he was anti-British.
So you heard members of SOE who argued the case for ELAS then, did you?
Oh yes, I have overheard the arguments in the house in Athens.
What type of arguments did they put forward?
Well, that ELAS had fought the Germans, and that ELAS had helped to liberate Greece from the Germans, and that therefore they were a very strong party, and that they should have had some measure of control in the ensuing government.
Did you have any sympathy for that argument yourself?
No, I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested. It'd been drummed into me so often by people that the Greeks were just politically minded and that they wanted to argue about anything, and whatever course you took, they would take the opposite course. And I didn't have any interest in Greek politics, I just avoided it.
Who had told you that?
Well, the Greeks in the mission. There was one particular Greek, Stavro, who spoke English.
Had he said that to you?
And he'd say yes.
So he took advised you to keep out of Greek politics, had he?
Yes, he said. He was one that said that, you know, every Greek tells lies, whether it's intentionally or not. I mean, if you ask the distance from here to there, they would say half an hour, and you find out it takes you 6 hours. That was a common occurrence. You know, it's no good asking a Greek. But on the other hand, let me say this, I found the Greeks very friendly and very helpful, and they would give you, they would do anything for you. I mean, I've had meals off Greeks. I can only say that one that I have in mind, it was revolting and it made me ill, but nevertheless, the fact that they offered it to me was when they had nothing. You know, you get, I guess, a mess of meat in olive oil and full of hair, and you know it's an old goat and it's been stewed in a bit of olive oil. You better be hungry to eat it, but on the other hand, they used to eat it, and to offer you some, they were really kind.
Did you like the Greeks?
I liked the Greeks, yes. Yeah, I liked the Greeks.
Did you ever come across any anti-British feeling expressed by Greeks?
No, no, never.
Not even by Elas?
No, no. Well, of course, I couldn't converse. There were very few Greeks that I could converse with, but I never found any anti. In fact, there was a high-ranking officer in Elas. I thought I'd like to learn to ride a horse, and we managed to acquire a horse, but I wanted a pair of... the boots I had, the Australian boots, wouldn't fit into the stirrups, and this high-ranking Elas officer who was hanging around the camp for some reason or other, I had a beautiful pair of German riding boots, and he offered me these boots, and he took his boots off and, you know, left himself in his holy stocking feet and offered me his riding boots, when it was explained to him that I couldn't get my feet in the stirrups. And I thought that was a magnificent gesture. He did say that he'd taken them off a dead German, but I think he was boasting a bit.
Now, going back to when you first arrived in Greece, you talked about the 50 Greeks who were the reception party. Presumably, they weren't organised in any organisation then.
Well, we always had a number of Greeks employed with the mission. They used to do... they were runners, they were spies, call them what you like, they were cooks, they were helpers, and they could go into the towns where we couldn't go, and they could buy stuff that was available because we had the money, and they could buy on the black market for what we needed. But when we had a parachute drop, we needed assistance because we had, perhaps 15 mules, about 15 mules we might take. And we used to, the Greeks that were with us would recruit other Greeks to, you know, locals to come and help on the drop. In fact, on one drop, one of the Greeks that was with us, out of sheer exuberance, fired his, I think he had a pistol, and he fired his pistol. And somebody who wasn't close to him heard the pistol firing, and he fired his. And in the end, within 5 minutes, there was a full-scale battle going on, where everyone was firing, and it was frightening, really. But it was just Greeks firing, nothing for any particular reason, they're just firing.
What did the Greek attitude towards the Germans seem to be? Did they hate them or not?
Yes, they did.